All right, grab your Bible this morning. Turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 2. I know what you're thinking. Christmas is a few weeks ago. Why are we in Luke chapter 2? But we're going to look at the end of the chapter this morning. Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 40 down through verse 52. Fairly familiar story, but one I believe we can glean much from this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. We're going to be looking at the subject, or talking about a day's journey without Jesus. A day's journey without Jesus. We're going to read this story, and we're going to look at Mary and Joseph for a few moments, but we're also going to look at what we can take from this story of Mary and Joseph and how we can apply it to our lives. We're going to see some very positive things about Mary and Joseph, but some things that, although they were good, left them wanting in a couple areas. So we're going to look at this story, Luke chapter 2, verses 40 down through verse 52. If you would just follow along this morning as I read, we'll begin reading in verse number 40 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind them in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." As I said, we're going to look at the subject of a day's journey without Jesus this morning. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to preach, Lord, and share what you've laid on my heart for the folks this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that you would bless what's said and what's done here. I pray that each and every one of us would try to learn something that we can apply to our lives to better serve you and be closer to you in the time that remains. I pray that you'd bless now, guide my thoughts and guide my tongue, Lord, as I preach. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified with everything that's done in the remainder of this service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We come to this portion of Scripture and we read the beginning of Luke chapter 2, and we know of Jesus' miraculous birth there in Bethlehem and how the shepherds came to worship him. And we see Mary keeping all these things in her heart. We see that phrase once again at the end of chapter 2. And there's a few years that we don't even hear anything about Christ, about 12 of them, actually. And we see him going to the temple, and we see all these things taking place in this one chapter. And it goes from literally in these 50 verses from his birth to him being 12 years old back in Nazareth. And we see here that these silent years, as they've been referred to from 0 to 12, we see that Jesus did, we saw in verse number 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So we see Jesus growing and maturing, becoming a young man at the age of 12. And then we pick up this story with them going to the Passover when he's 12 years old and going up to Jerusalem. We find Mary and Joseph heading to Jerusalem here at the beginning of the verses we read, and we see them going there. It says, and when they fulfilled the days they had been there and they had spent some time there, observed and remembered the Passover and what it meant for the Jews. Remember, it was established back in the book of Exodus, and they when they were brought out of Egypt, and they were supposed to look back and remember that time. That they were brought out of Egypt and that Passover time. And we see them remembering this time, and then they start heading home. It says that they're on their way home and they're traveling, and Jesus is tarried behind. That they didn't know of it. They just assumed that he was with some of their friends, some of their other family members. It even says they had checked with their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and they were looking for him, but they couldn't find him. But I'm afraid that many Christians in this day and age that we live this morning, there are many that are content walking on their daily journey without Christ. They're content walking, and I'm not just talking about reading your Bible every morning, although that's a wonderful place to start if you're going to be taking a journey with Jesus. But we see that there are many Christians as we look around, and we see people who, truthfully, you can look at them and say, man, it seems as though they're taking a journey without Jesus. And we see Mary and Joseph here, we're going to look at a few things about Mary and Joseph kind of by way of introduction, and then just have one main point for us this evening. Or this morning, rather, but as we look at Mary and Joseph, we see a few things from their lives. We see some very good things about their lives. We see, first, they were following God's commands. They were following God's commands. In verses 41 through verse 43, we see them going up to the Passover every year. They're going there to Jerusalem, and they went up there, as it says, as the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. They spent the time there. They were following a direct command from God. We see in Exodus chapter 12, verses 11 through 14, it says, "And thus ye shall eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." We see all the way back in the book of Exodus when the Passover first took place that the Lord commanded them to keep this Passover as a memorial. And they were following God's command. God had commanded them to keep the Passover. And if we were going to kind of just transfer over and apply that to us, they were doing what God had told them to do. We see that they were doing something that they were supposed to do. And we as Christians, we're here in church on Sunday morning. We have our Bibles in our hands, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're where we're supposed to be. We're sitting attentively listening to the preaching of God's word, and we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing at this point in our lives. So we see Mary and Joseph, we're following God's command just as we are this morning. But we see in verse number 42, down through verse 44, we see not only were they following God's commands, we see them found in good company. Verse 42, it says, it was the custom of the feast. And then 43, it says that they were traveling back. In number 44, verse 44, the main verse we're going to look at, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. We see them all, that all of Jewry, all Judaism was gathered together at Jerusalem to observe this Passover. They were all gathered together, and we see, here's a good point for us to remember, that good people, the good company that they were in, were following God's commands. Usually people who are following commands of God are usually good people to hang around. I think we would all agree that people who, your church family or people you know who maybe at work that follow God's commands are good people to hang out with. They're good people to be with. And we see Mary and Joseph found in good company. They were in the company that was traveling back, maybe towards Nazareth. Maybe some were going to stop off in Samaria or wherever their hometown was. But they were traveling back to Jerusalem with good company, with people who were their relatives, with people they knew from Nazareth, who had all come to worship God and to follow God's commands. They were found in this good company. But remember that just because you're hanging out with good people doesn't mean you're always doing what you're supposed to be doing. But we see that they were following God's commands. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were hanging out with good people and with good company. They had the right friends, so to speak. But we see next something that is something that wasn't good, but it was a good thing to see in their lives. In verse number 45 down through verse 48, we see that they were filled with great concern. Filled with great concern, which says, "And when they found him not, they turned back turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him." I would skip down to verse number 48 when Mary's talking to Jesus. She says, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." We see they're filled with a great concern. Just imagine you being in this position. You've been entrusted as the earthly parents of God himself, of God incarnate on the earth, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world. You've been entrusted as his parents, and then you lose him. Now imagine how terrible feeling. I think I would be sorrowing for sure, as Mary said they were. They were looking for him. They said, oh, have you seen Jesus? They, No, they're going to maybe one of their relatives and say, hey, have you seen Jesus? Is he with one of your kids? And like, no, we haven't seen him. They're going to people that they hardly know, just acquaintances, tell them. They're saying, hey, have you seen our son? Have you seen Jesus? And they say, no, we haven't seen him. And it says they've gone a whole day's journey. They've walked a day's journey back towards Nazareth, and they're looking for him. They thought he was in the company, but he wasn't. And it says they turn back, and Mary says, hey, why did you do that? We've been looking for you sorrowing. When they realized that Jesus wasn't with them, it brought great sorrow to their lives. And that's a wonderful thing. This is kind of a very important thing to realize, that many times maybe if we're walking without Christ and we're looking for Jesus, we need to realize when we're not with Christ and not doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, or we're not walking as close to God as we should, it should bring great concern to our lives as well. But we see they were filled with great concern. We see that they were first following God's command. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were found in good company. They were even with good people that they were supposed to be with. But we see them filled with great concern. And then we see next that they were faced with godly counsel. Verse number 49, he said unto them, how is it that ye saw me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? We see that they didn't understand exactly what he even meant by that. In verse number 50 and 51, it says, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. We see that he was even giving them godly counsel. At the age of 12, he was saying, hey, I need to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to be doing my Father's business. In the book of John, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. Christ realized that even at a young age that he needed to be learning and teaching in the temple and learning from these men who had been wise and done things and lived for God for many years. He realized that although it's good to be there for the Passover, he still had things to learn. But we as Christians, as we conform to the image of Christ and we try to be filled more with Christ and we try to abound more for Christ, as our theme is, and we try to do more for him, we need to realize the importance of being about our Father's business. We need to be doing what God has put us on this earth to do. And what that is to reach lost souls for Christ. To be as close to God as we can. To be as close to Christ as we possibly can. And it's great to look at Mary and Joseph and see their lives. But what does it mean for us? This morning as we sit here and we look at these verses and we see them following God's commands. Doing something they're supposed to be doing. It's a great thing, and we see them in good company. We can say, hey, I need to make sure I have the right friends. And we can see them filled with great concern, saying, hey, when I notice I'm away from Christ, I need to be as concerned as I can possibly be to find him. And we can see them also faced with godly counsel, see the importance of realizing when someone's trying to help me and someone's trying to give me some advice, that it's a good thing if they're a godly person, maybe a pastor or someone you look up to who's a good Christian. It's good to take that advice. But we can see that. But what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us today? I hope that because of this, we'll be first faced with a great conviction. Faced with a great conviction, we see Mary and Joseph, they were taking a trip without Jesus, and they realized that they needed to find him. But how many times do we as Christians take a day's journey or maybe a week's journey or a month's journey without Jesus and never even think two things of it? We never think anything of what we're doing without Christ. We're going days in our daily walk, and we're going, and we're trying to live right, we're trying to do right, but where's Christ? Where's the one who we say that we're serving? Where's the one who came and died for us and to take us to heaven? Where's the one that we're supposed to be walking next to? Where's the one that's supposed to help us through our daily tasks and chores? Where's the one who's supposed to do to help us get done what we need to get done for him? We can do all the right things. We can read our Bibles and we can come to church. We can look right. We can dress right. We can act right. We can talk right. But where's Christ? Where's Jesus? When we take a day's journey without Jesus, we need to make sure that we find him as quick as we possibly can. Mary and Joseph gave us a good example of that when they left Jerusalem, heading back to Nazareth. They noticed that Jesus wasn't there. It even says they supposed that he was in the company. They knew when they left, they knew he wasn't with them, but they thought that he was close by. And they looked and looked and they couldn't find him. And then they realized, hey, we've done something. We've lost God. We've lost God himself. But too many times we as Christians, I just want to encourage us that when we're taking our daily journey, we need to make sure that Christ is with us. Don't just assume he's somewhere by us. Don't just assume he's close by. Make sure that we're walking with him. Make sure that we're going down the path that we're supposed to be going and he's walking right beside us. But remember, Christ never moves. It says yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. The song says, it's taken from the Bible, where it says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. If we're not walking with Jesus, it's because we're not on the same path as him. If we're taking a day's journey without Jesus and we're walking a way we shouldn't be going, it's not because Christ walked away from us. It's because we walked away from him. Well, let's take some advice from Mary and Joseph. When they realized that even though they were in good company, even though they were following God's commandments, they realized that they weren't doing it with Christ. We can get so caught up with, oh, I need to be in church. I got to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And they even have a Wednesday night Bible study, and I need to be at all the services because that's how I'm going to be a good Christian. Hey, that's a wonderful thing to do. That's a wonderful thing to be in church as much as you possibly can. You say, well, I need to sit down and I need to read a Proverbs a day because it's 31 days, so I got to read a proverb a day. And once again, a wonderful thing to do, but we shouldn't be coming to church just to punch a time card. We shouldn't be sitting down and opening our Bible just to say, okay, I read through Proverbs again. Once again, another month of the year, I read through Proverbs. Woohoo! Punch, say like a A plus, you know. And we think that, oh, I'm gonna read this and I gotta just punch my time. Oh, I need to pray for my meal. Lord, bless the food. Amen. You know, and we just go through the motions of Christianity. We're following God's commands. God tells us to pray, and we're doing it. God tells us to read our Bible, and we're doing it. God says, be in church, and we go. And we're doing all these things, but we need to realize that we need to do it with Christ. Amen. It's wonderful to be in church. I love church. This is one of my favorite places to be. I love being in church. I love the opportunity to preach, and I love standing on this platform behind this pulpit. I love it, but if I'm not doing it with Christ, what good is it? Right. What good is it for us to be in church if we're not in church with God? What good is it for us to open God's Word if we don't care if we get anything from it? What good is it for us to pray and ask God to help us if we're going to walk away from Christ as soon as we get done praying? What good is it for us to dress right and act right and make sure we're talking right and even try to make sure we're being good people if we're not doing it with Christ? It's so important for us. We see in Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, but we see Jesus. When we look at all these things around us, we can't see, and we can't see what's going to happen. We can't see how we get through this storm. We can't see all these things. We can turn to Christ. But what about when we're not walking with him? When we don't see what's going on, we're supposed to be able to turn to Christ, but we need to make sure that we're walking right next to him. It's great to go through the motions of Christianity. It is. As I said, I love coming to church. I like coming here during the week. You know, I like coming over here and just being here and getting things ready, getting things prepared for Sunday. I love being at church. But the fact of the matter is, I need to be here with Christ. I need to be looking for Jesus. I need to be looking for God to meet with us. I need to be looking for what God wants to talk to my heart about when I'm here. I need to be standing right next to Christ. And every time I hear something, I say, is that what I need to be changing? Whenever a pastor says something in the preaching, it says, makes a point, it's like, oh, Holy Spirit, is that what I need to change in my life? Is that what I need to work on? Is that what you want me to be doing? Is that what you want me to change in my life? Whenever I open this book in the morning and I'm reading and I'm reading through whatever plan you're reading, if you just read a chapter a day, whatever it is, you need to open it and say, God, give me something from this. Holy Spirit, speak to my heart as I read this. Yes. Christ, I want you to sit right next to me and illuminate these words so that when I read something, it pokes my heart and says, hey, you need to change something. You need to do something. You need to stop doing whatever it is. You need to start doing something. I want Christ to walk right next to me. I don't want to be walking a day's journey without Jesus. I don't want to be walking the right path, walking saying, hey, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I look right, I look sharp, I look put together, and then not have Christ in my life. I'm not talking about salvation. If you're saved, praise the Lord, you can't lose that. It's there, it's settled, and you're always going to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. But I'm talking about taking a daily walk with Christ. Taking it and grabbing a hold of Christ and just having him walk right beside you and lead you and guide you and take you where you're supposed to be. coming to church and saying, Lord, I need to learn something. I want to be an abounding Christian, as our theme is. I want to be someone who does something for God. And I need you to meet with me. I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. And the reason a lot of Christians fall away from serving Christ is because they're trying to do it by themselves. And I think you should give your all to the cause of Christ. I think you should be in church. I think you should try to do as much as you possibly can for the cause of Christ, but you need to make sure you're doing it with Christ. Many times we try to do it in our own strength, and we say, man, this is so hard. That's because we're not doing it with Christ. And it can be difficult, but we need to make sure that we're doing stuff with Christ, not just for Him. It's wonderful to stand there and say, hey, I'm standing for Christ. That's wonderful. And it's wonderful to say, hey, I'm standing on Christ. Jesus is my foundation. But I think it's even a better thing than that to say, hey, I'm standing with Christ. I'm standing here with Jesus right next to me. I'm walking with Him. When I open my Bible, I'm trying to learn from Him. When I'm sitting in the church pew, I'm trying to learn from Him. When I'm doing something for Him, when I'm praying, I'm trying to get in closer communion with Him. Notice something in verse number 44 and 46. Luke chapter 2, verse 44, and then in verse number 46, I want you to notice something this morning that I think is very important. It says, but they supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Notice they went a day's journey. Skip down to verse number 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. I want you to notice an important point. Many times when we get away from God, when we get away from Christ, when we're not walking with Him anymore, it takes more than just one day of reading our Bible, one day of praying, going to one church service to get back to where we should be. We can't live our lives in sin and be doing whatever we want and say, man, I know I'm away from God. I need to get back to Him. And then say, okay, I read 3 verses from my Bible. Let the blessings come. Or say, hey, oh man, I went back to one church service. Man, I'm a good Christian, which, hey, that's a good start. It's great to be in the house of God. It's great to be reading God's word. And it's wonderful to have a prayer life that's in communion with God. It's great to give to the work of the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of times when we get away from God, it takes more than just one day to get back to it. It takes more than just one day. It says they went a whole day's journey. They took a day's journey without Christ, and it took them 3 days to find Him. They didn't just turn around and say, oh, good, I found Him. He's right there. No, when we go on a journey without Christ, sometimes it takes a while to get back to where we're supposed to be. It takes a while for us to get back to where God wants us to be. The fact is that we can find Christ. We see Mary and Joseph were following the commands of God. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. We see that they were found in good company. They were hanging out with church people. They were hanging out with good friends, good Christian friends. We see that they were even filled with great concern. How important that is. They realized they were away from Christ and they were filled with concern. We see that Christ even gave them godly counsel. So us this morning, we need to be filled with that same conviction of, am I walking with Christ? Am I walking with Christ? When I come to church, am I looking to get something that 'll draw me closer to God? Let me just say that no matter how close we are to God, we've never arrived as Christians. We can always take a step closer to Jesus. We can always be filled more with the Holy Spirit. We can always be transformed into the image of Christ a little more. When we come to church, are we looking for something to draw us closer to God? Are we looking for something to draw us closer, to transform us more into the image of Christ? When we open God's Word, in the morning or in the evening, when we sit there and we want to learn something, are we truly opening God's Word and saying, Lord, teach me something. Show me something that you want me to do. Show me something that you want me to stop doing. Show me something that's going to make me more like Christ. Show me something that's going to make me shine as a better light in the world of darkness. That's going to make me a better witness. When we pray, do we ask the Holy Spirit to say, do we say, Holy Spirit, convict me of something? If there's something in my heart that shouldn't be there, if I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing, if I'm not doing something I should be, Lord, convict me. Show me what that is. Are we doing that? Because the fact is, we can be doing all the right things. We can be going through the motions of church, of Christianity, and we can still be going through all the motions, but still have a ho-hum Christianity of just, oh, well, I go there because I'm supposed to. I read my Bible because it's just what you do if you're a Christian. Oh, I pray to the Lord, but especially when I really need something. Oh, I witness to people, kind of. I mean, I tell them sometimes I go to church. Are we saying, no, I need to learn something about God. I need to be as close to Him as I possibly can. When I sit in a pew, I want to learn something. When I open God's Word, I want to learn something. When I pray, it's because I want the Lord to do a work in my life. I want to give. I want to give of my life. I want to give my life to the cause of Christ. I want to be the best Christian, the best abounding Christian as I can be. I want to do as much as I possibly can for Christ. I hope that's your prayer this morning. I hope that you're not content taking a day's journey without Jesus. I hope you're not content walking on your daily path without Him. I hope that you're not content just sitting in the pew and saying, oh, I'm here just to punch time card. I hope you're not content reading your Bible just to say you read it. I hope that you want something from Christ. I hope that you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be as close to Christ as you possibly can be. We see that this all is so important for us. Mary and Joseph were following God's commands. We should. We should be following God's commands. They were found in good company. We should do the same thing. We should have good church family friends and good friends that are helping us become closer to God. We should be filled with great concern when we find we're not where we're supposed to be in our Christian life. We shouldn't be faced with that conviction of sin and just say, well, it's okay. We should be filled with concern and say, no, I need to get that out of my life. Or I need to get closer to God. And when we're faced with godly counsel, we need to act on it. When the Lord speaks to our heart, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, we need to act on it. We need to get whatever it is out of our life or get it into our lives and do something for the Lord. When we're faced with this conviction, we need to act on it. I hope that this morning that is your prayer, that you don't even want to take a day's journey without Christ. You don't want to see how that feels. You don't want to see how it feels to be standing there like Mary and Joseph saying, where's Jesus? We've been traveling for a day. We've been traveling for a whole day's journey. Where's Christ? I hope that you don't ever want to experience that. That every day you want to grow closer to Him. You want to walk hand in hand with Him down the path of life. But we see that first, if we're going to do that, we have to be saved. We have to have Christ as part of us. We have to have accepted that free gift of salvation, realize that we're a sinner, realize we're on our way to hell because of that sin, but realize that Christ took that penalty for us. The one who walks with us is the one who died for us. He took that penalty for us, and all we have to do is ask Him to save us. Ask Him to come into our heart and cleanse us from sin and walk with us, to take us to heaven. We have to just ask Him, because then we can start walking with Him. And if you've accepted that free gift of salvation, my prayer for you this morning is that you want to walk with Christ. That you want to stand next to Him, and every step down the path of life, every step that you take serving God, that you want Him right next to you. You don't want to just go through the motions without Christ. You don't want to just come to church because you're supposed to, or read your Bible because it's a good thing to do. You want Christ to illuminate your path and illuminate what you're supposed to be doing. I pray that you don't want to take a day's journey without Jesus. I know I don't want to. I don't want to go a day's journey and turn and look and say, where's Christ? Where was Christ this whole day when I was at work, when I was studying, when I was doing something, when I was reading God's Word? Where was Jesus? I don't want to do that, and I pray that you don't want to either. I pray that this church will be a church that is filled with members who are not only doing the right things. I want us to do the right things, obviously. I want us to be the Christians we're supposed to be, but I want us to do them while we're walking right next to Christ. I want Him to be walking right next to us in our personal lives as we serve Him, and when we go through our day-to-day lives. I want Him to be right next to us, and when we come to church, I want us to bring Him with us. I want us to come here and have everyone with Jesus sitting right next to them, working in their hearts, trying to get them closer to Him. So that we cannot take a day's journey without Jesus. We have Him with us all the time. And when we see that we're doing the right things, make sure we're doing them with Him. This morning, I want to encourage you, don't take a day's journey without Jesus. As you go through the day, we're going to start the work week tomorrow with going back to work or whatever the situation is. We're going to be tempted to just say, oh, well, I don't need Christ today. I'm just going to work and I'm going to come right home and I'll read my Bible then or whatever the situation. But I would encourage you to take Christ with you. Amen. Have him right next to you. Let him walk with you. And don't take a day's journey without Jesus.